I'm Ian Woods.
And I'm Neil White.
And this week, we are visiting one of the truly great golf clubs, Sunningdale in Berkshire. Prestigious because of its design, its history, it's hosted some of golf's best ever players, and also because it features not one but two fantastic courses. This week, we've played the Old, which opened in 1901, but is it a course where the average golfer can also shine? So where exactly does it feature in your famous top 100 list?
Well, in the world list, I mean, playing at Sunningdale is such a treat, isn't it? So on the world list is number 22. In GB and Ireland, it's number 9. And in England, this is the second best course there is, according to top100golfcourses.com. So absolute treat, a delight to be there.
And it's majestic even when you drive in for the first time. And let's face it, most people will drive to get there, just put it in your sat-nav and off you go. But as a slight sort of diversion immediately, if you did want to go by train to Sunningdale, you can do, because the Sunningdale train station is only an 8-minute walk from the clubhouse. And the reason for that is because they offered honorary membership to the boss of the railway company to insist that there was a Sunningdale stop on the line, so the people who both played and worked at the course could have easy access to it. So if you're going to have a boozy lunch there afterwards, then go by train.
And when you enter the course, it just is something to behold. Obviously, you see the fantastic clubhouse, but you also see the most famous tree. Is it the most famous tree in golf? I think it's likely to be the most famous tree in golf. It's the logo of Sunningdale itself, this beautiful oak tree that's behind the 18th. And there's just a sense of place immediately.
It's an expensive place to play. No two ways about it. We'll tell you about that in a moment. But we had a pleasant surprise because we were playing as guests of a member. Ben Monroe Davis is a friend and a former work colleague of mine. So we were his guests, and normally the guest rate is £60 for a round. But when we turned up to pay, because they'd done some work on the greens the week before, they decided it wasn't in tip-top condition, so only charged us £40 to play the second best course in England. What a bargain.
You are already making our listeners envious, aren't you? It's super. Yeah, we got lucky with it, but look, if you're going to go for bucket list golf, I know it's going to be very expensive to play at Sunningdale, but ultimately, even if you can't link it with a member, it's certainly well worth it.
Now, we played the day after an absolute deluge of rain. I know there's been lots of them, but it was a particularly wet night, so we were expecting it to be a little bit damp underfoot, and it was in places, but not too bad. The welcome was warm, and we start off with, I always think it's a really inviting start to a round, and that's a par 5, which is a bit downhill, and you always think you can score well on that.
It is a super start. It's interesting, it's right in front of the putting green area, and there's some pretty handy players gathering around. We saw Rob Key, the England selector, there on the day that we were playing, and I'm told he's a very tasty golfer. But the lads in front of us had caddies, and they certainly looked the part. I'm not sure whether we did or not, actually. I hit a decent one, but it's an intimidating drive. There's a lot of trees down the right-hand side, but a lot of heather down the left. And it seems on this par 5 that the left is probably the angle to go from. You can end up in trouble there.
Yeah, I pushed mine off to the right. Thought I hit a good drive. Turned out to be not such a good drive. And I ended up almost putting it out of bounds with my second shot, but recovered for a bogey start. But you always feel that you can do well on a downhill par 5, I think. And you think it's definitely a doable hole, don't you?
I do, largely because I had a birdie putt. But yeah, I've got a par. I think Sunningdale, what makes Sunningdale great, and Ben will be telling this as well later on, is that there's a possibility for amateurs to do well. This obviously used to be a championship course, regularly on the road. So the last time a major championship was held here, I think it was in 1986 when Nick Faldo won the European Open, but it has held British Masters as recently, I think it was a couple of years ago. And, you know, the professionals clearly play on here quite a bit too, but it's not a long course, so there are opportunities.
Yeah, I watched the British Senior Open Championship at Sunningdale back in 2008. I remember one of the reasons I'd gone there was because Tom Watson had almost won the Open Championship at Troon just a week or two before. Remember, he was pipped by Stuart Sink. And he was playing in the Senior Open, so I went along to see him play. He didn't do quite so well there. Fred Funk, whatever happened to Fred Funk, was the golfer that I followed around for quite a lot of that. And
did you watch him listening to music at all? You know,
but it is fun watching the professionals play it, and there have been some great ones over the years. Gary Player won his first ever tournament here. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. And if you go on the Sunningdale website, they certainly talk a lot. There's a lot of testimonials from great players of the past, for sure. So Arnold Palmer talks about it being his favourite European course. Tom Watson, as you say, said he felt like a child playing around Sunningdale. And Gary Player gives it great plaudits. So in fact, Gary Player is sort of semi-regularly seen at Sunningdale, isn't he? Ben, our compadre for the day, has even met him on the driving range.
Yeah, he sent me a picture. This is going back a few years ago. He sent me a picture saying I might be a little bit intimidated by who's beside me in the bay beside me as I'm teeing off, and it was Gary Player. But yeah, no, it's a course which has hosted some great players and continues to host great players, because later on this year it's going to be hosting the Curtis Cup, the annual amateur battle between Britain and the United States ladies golfers.
And you might also see a celebrity or two among you. When I played that last year with Mrs. W, I know she was looking up Hugh Grant, who we're told is a member, and one of our playing partners on the day last week. They talked about their wife going round with them and stopping in the halfway hut and meeting Tim Henman and Harry Styles. The only thing is that they were ladies of a certain age, and they recognised Tim Henman and started chatting to him, and they had no idea who Harry Styles was.
Anyway, let's get on to our champagne moment, because I've been itching to talk about my champagne moment again. Should we move on to that straight away on the fourth hole?
Yeah, let's do that. The fourth hole is a cracker, and we could go through every single hole at Sunningdale, but I would say this, that many of you will have already played there, and we just want to give you a flavour of the holes that we appreciated the most, and also for people that haven't been before. But go through every single hole, we think it's probably a little bit pointless. So let's give you an idea of our favourites and where we probably burned it up a little bit. And you certainly did on the fourth, which is a beautiful par three uphill. On the day, because it was a little bit wet in the air, then you had to be right on club selection. I was pretty pleased with hitting my six iron just at the front of the green. And you muffed the first shot, didn't you? Let's face it.
Yeah, of the four of us who were playing, I had the worst tee shot because I dithered over my club selection, as I often do when it's an elevated green and a par three. And I went into a pretty cavernous, deep bunker on the front of the green. And it's so deep that when you get inside it to play your shot, you can't see the green. You might be able to see the top of the flag from certain parts of it. But it forces you to really commit to your shot, because you know your ball's not going to go anywhere unless you really take a full swing at it. And I did, and made great contact, and ended up about 5 feet from the hole. It wasn't a straightforward putt, needed a bit of a right to left, but made the putt. And that was easily my best moment of the day.
Yeah, I meanwhile was on the green from my tee shot and three putted, so that made it sort of even sweeter for you, didn't it? The holes at Sunningdale, it won't surprise you to know that on the old course, I really love it because the architect was Willie Park Jr. Willie Park Jr. is one of my favourites because he had a massive hand in creating Silloth Golf Club, where I'm a member. So there are lots of Willie Park signatures around the course, but there are also a few Harry Colt signatures around the course, because Colt was secretary at Sunningdale, a long-standing secretary from its opening onwards. One of the favourite holes I have is the fifth, which is a gorgeous downhill par four, and you can see the way that the stripes on the fairways are absolutely splendid in the summer. Loads of purple around. There was less purple, obviously, when we played a couple of weeks ago, but nevertheless, a glorious looking hole. You've got to place the ball accurately, not too far right where the bunkers await. Not too far left where rough awaits, but just nicely in front of quite a substantial pond. And then you're left with a question about whether you're really going to go for it or not, aren't you?
Ben mentioned to me that he thinks he was told that this lake is the first example of a purpose-built lake in a golf course in England. Obviously, there's obviously some courses which have natural water hazards, but this was one which was constructed as part of the design of the course. I've been trying to look up to find out whether that's true. Haven't been able to find anything any more about it. If you know, do let us know. I should say that as well as the four human players, we also had two dogs accompanying us on the round. Max was a dog belonging to a friend of Ben's that he'd agreed to take for a walk, and didn't always do exactly what Ben suggested, probably because they weren't awfully familiar with each other.
Actually, I thought he intervened almost as Ben was on the tee. He didn't bother with us on the tee much. But when Ben was on the tee, I thought he wanted to have a sing-along. He was yelping, and I don't know whether he was upset with Ben's drives or whether he wanted to congratulate him or what. Then the dogs decided to have a bit of a fight while I was on the tee and brought two of the bags down, didn't they, from their trolleys. And then we had the magnificent moment on the seventh, didn't we?
Yeah, now this is definitely our comedy moment of the day, because the seventh features a blind tee shot. And because of that, there is a bell to ring on the fairway, so when you have got past and you've played your second shot, to alert the people who are on the tee behind you. Now, normally, it's a little bit of a diversion to ring the bell, but not if you've got Otto.
No, Otto the dog. Honestly, how high do you think this bell is? I don't know, 6 feet in the air? And Otto the dog, on command, ran across the fairway and rang the bell. Not once, but twice. So it was absolutely something to behold. Anyway, I've been looking at a website called bringfido.co.uk. Yep, I think actually exists. It's a guide to where to take dogs to hotels, restaurants, activities, events, and golf clubs. And it says that dogs are welcome to join their owners for a round at Sunningdale Golf Club. It's a pet-friendly golf club in England and allows their members to bring Fido onto the course. And the only rule is that pets must be leashed around the clubhouse, and dogs can help you by collecting balls from your wayward shots. And he even managed that, didn't he, Otto?
He did. I put a ball in the stream, couldn't find where it was, and Otto traced it for me. Sadly, he didn't actually sort of, you know, get in and sort of fetch it out and bring it and drop it at my feet so I could play it. And I suppose, technically speaking, I should have been dropping it, you know, from knee height anyway, rather than from a dog's full height. But yeah, they're very, very handy having those dogs around. Although Ben is clearly not used to this quite so much, as when we got to the halfway hut and we had our tasty sandwich there, we walked off and he left Max tied up at the halfway hut and had to be called back to retrieve his dog.
He was all over the place, wasn't he? It wasn't exactly, he's not like Barbara Woodhouse's son, is he? It was absolutely minorly hilarious, but dog antics aside, the seventh hole, if we go back to it, is a cracking hole, isn't it? That blind shot from the tee, and then it sort of curves up to an elevated green and round bunkers. I thought was a stonking hole. And if we go forward then to my next favourite hole, I would say the 10th any day of the week, and that's your sort of photo shop hole, really. It's get your photos taken from the tee, leaning down against towards the crisscross patterns on the fairways, two bunkers on either side of this long par four, and then moving forward towards that halfway hut. Absolutely superb hole, and most memorable.
And the halfway hut, we do make a point of talking about the food and drink which is on offer at golf clubs, and there's a particular story to tell about Sunningdale's halfway hut.
Well, they're supposed to have this great pastry-based product, namely one of the finest sausage rolls in golf. Unfortunately, every time I go there, it's not available. So the dogs had their food. That definitely was available, and clearly they knew where their priorities lie, because the fat lad from Nottingham wasn't given his sausage roll. But I did have quite a nice sausage in a cob and in a bread roll, but it wasn't quite the same thing, let's be honest.
Yeah, now we had to have a coffee to warm us up because it was cold, and not just damp at that point, but the heavens opened. So from this point of the round on, my golf disintegrated and I could just enjoy the scenery and do my best to stay as dry as possible, because the next half of our round was not quite as pleasant as the front nine.
Which is a shame, because actually you are now talking about some of the great holes in golf, and the 11th is a particularly special one. Let's hear from Ben Munro-Davis. We've talked about him quite a bit so far. he says what he thinks about being a member at Sunningdale, but also why he thinks the 11th is one of the best holes.
I don't need to sort of boast, but I think this is probably the best, certainly inland club in the UK. It's got 36 holes, both courses on a par with each other, both courses very different from each other. So you're a very lucky man or woman to be a member here. History, beauty, near London. It's a very, very special place.
So the old course we played today, tell me about that specifically.
Well, I would say the old course, I think it's a perfect course because it's obviously a great course and lots of pros love it. But it's actually very playable. It's quite wide. There's some short par fours. You know, a hacker could take on Tiger Woods on the old course and enjoy himself and with handicap. So I think it's a course designed for amateurs as well as professionals, which is pretty unique. Harder front nine, back nine than the front nine. And certainly the finish is as good as any finish you'll come in a golf course. So you've got the 15th, which is a 220-yard par three, and then three 400-yard plus par fours. So many a match is turned on its head from 15 onwards.
So does that mean you prefer to play the old course?
I prefer to play the old because it's easier. Yes, it's slightly easier on there. It is easier. But the new, I mean, try to talk about the new, but the new is tough. The new is brutal. There's a driving course. It's longer. The loss of carries. And if you're not driving well, you spend a lot of time in the heather and you're pretty miserable by the front nine is a brutal test of golf. And that is where, for example, they don't really play many medals on, we don't play many medals on the new because people wouldn't turn up. It's too hard. So it would just be attritional, like sort of Carnoustie in 1999, you know. I prefer to play the old, but I mean, they're both wonderful courses.
Because you played me on the new on a day when it was about 40 degrees, yeah. And it was real
just after the fire, I think, as well, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. Just been a big fire there as well. When the new sort of weakness, the first and the 18th are a bit flat, and the new's finish is a bit meh after everything else was the 18th. The old has got a fantastic finish, but. You know, I think Gary Player won his first professional tournament on the new. They are, and when it's new, it's 1923. I think it's just had its centenary, hasn't it? So it's not that new.
So what's your favourite hole on the... If you could only play one hole on the old course, which one would it be?
That's a great question. I think it would be the 11th, which is a short par four, dogleg right, just after the hut. There's always an enormous challenge. Everyone's shot. There's a halfway hut with delicious sausages. And everyone always plays the 11th badly because the blood's gone from their brain to their stomach. But it's a short 200, 300-yard par four, dogleg right. It should be really straightforward. It's got a raised green and hardly ever see any birdies on it. And you're always annoyed when you get a bogey. So I think there's something special about short par fours. I think they're dying in golf in general. And that's got to be one of the best in the world.
Yeah, Ben making the point that the old course is certainly easier to play than the new. He was saying that actually that amongst the members at Sunningdale, they hardly have any medal rounds on the new course because not enough people want to play in them. Everybody wants to play the old course in competitions because it's so much easier than the new. We will talk about the new another time because it deserves a podcast all of its own. So we're focusing very much on the old. But how fantastic to have such two fantastic courses that you can play whenever you like.
They are the best 36-hole combination in the world, literally in the world. They're both highly regarded. And yeah, I played them in very, very warm temperatures a couple of years ago. And I can tell you that I was like Clint Eastwood in the Good, Bad and the Ugly desert scene because I was parched by the end of it and my legs are giving in. But nevertheless, two fantastic courses. To go back to Ben's point about the 11th hole, it really isn't a very long hole. It's one of those fabulous little par fours. And it lures you down the right-hand side because somehow you want to cut a corner that can't be cut unless you are, I don't know, John Rahm or whoever. But with bunkers and heather on the right, trees, you name it, really all you need to do is place it down the left-hand side and lob the ball onto the green. Yeah, we didn't do that. So I think you were further right than me. I think Ben was further right still. I got a bit of huge fortune because I think the bunker was a grand in repair and therefore I could play it from the side of the bunker and I did manage to hit the green when we were taking a shot. But yep, our compadre who knew the course hit it straight down the middle and then knocked him around the dogleg, no problem at all.
12th hole, I had to say goodbye to my favourite ball. I'd played with this ball for 3.5 rounds and been hitting it straight for such a long period of time, but in the rain on the 12th, sadly, it disappeared off into the bushes, into the trees, never to be seen again. Even Otto couldn't help me on that one.
The 12th hole, it's a shame really, because the 12th hole is another one of the wondrous holes at Sunningdale. It bears round to the left. It's again a long par four. You have to know that over heather. You don't have to hit it too far right into the trees. There's not a massive landing area. And then it swishes to the left, past bunkers, ascends to a green that is tricky in itself because it's multi-tiered. Belting hole, a really, really good one. I'm glad to say I played it slightly better than you.
Ben talks about how the last few holes on the course can really sort of change a match play contest around because they are often so demanding. So let's talk about the closing holes first of all.
Well, I'd certainly mention the 14th only for its hilarity, really. But I think the 14th's a really difficult par 5 because of the number of bunkers on it. And weaving your way between them takes some skill. Well, we must think it takes some skill because, unbelievably, an 8 won the hole, as the heavens opened. You're right. I mean, you go on to the 15th, which is a really, really tough par 3. Over heather, 200-odd yards, and again, very, very easy to mess up. The 16th is a par 4, again, over lots of the purple stuff. But I love that green there because, and what really what defends it, it's, I don't know whether it's 8 or 10 bunkers right in a semicircle in front of the green. Absolutely purling hole. And then the last hole, I think, is a stupendous finish, isn't it?
It is, and particularly because I hadn't played the back nine very well, you want to do well on the last hole. You really want to leave Sunningdale with a good memory. And I thought I'd hit a good tee shot. Turned out it was not in a bunker, but nestled in heather on the fringes of a deep bunker, which meant that to be able to play it, I was standing right in the bunker, playing it like it was a baseball shot. And I didn't do so very successfully. 2 complete air shots. So that completely ruined my last hole, unfortunately.
I think playing on Heath a few years ago, I discovered, playing on heathland is different to anything else in golf. And if the ball lands in heather, I think the first thing you've got to think about is just getting it out. Just taking the medicine. It's a bit like a really deep bunker that you're not going to get huge yardage on. Get the thing out of there rather than try anything too dramatic. And if you're lucky enough to just put it on 50 yards, then that's great. I know the professionals look like they can hit it for miles, but honestly, I think that just controlling the ball, getting it out of there is the best way forward. I finished it pretty well, but I was pleased to because the backdrop to the 18th, it's again another a long par 4, lots of trouble down the right where you went, pretty open on the left. But again, it's beautiful bunkers in front of the green, which are covered in heather, and then the backdrop of the clubhouse and that magnificent tree that we talked about earlier on. It is a truly marvellous way to end a game of golf.
You had to dash off, sadly, so we aren't able to enjoy Ben's hospitality, but I can report that the members' bar has been newly refurbished, and very nice it is too, and they serve the most enormous club sandwiches, which I had to help Ben finish his because he couldn't manage it. So the place itself is just a wonderful mecca for golf, and if you do get the chance to play, then take the opportunity. It's not cheap, though, is it?
No, it isn't. In the summer, it's £350 for a round of golf if you play full rack rate. £600 if you combine the two courses. And some people will say, no thanks. I was playing with a golfer today elsewhere, and they said they wouldn't pay that sort of money. If you are a top 100 devotee, there will be plenty of rounds that you'll pay as much, if not more than that. And you might want to suck it up. I know I've seen a busload of American tourists that rolled up at Sunningdale because they want to play one of the best courses in the world, or two of the best courses in the world, should I say, and they'd be right to do so. I have eaten at Sunningdale before, you might get the reward of, again, a bit of celeb spotting, because last time I was on the veranda, at Sunningdale, had a superb lunch, and on one side of us was Stephen Hendry, the snooker player, and Lord Ian Botham, the former cricketer. Yeah, that's all a bit of fun as well, isn't it? Somebody was uncorking a bottle, a Jeroboam of wine as well at the same time. So it's a marvellous place to just watch the world go by as much as anything else, but surely one of the great places to play golf to.
And I think you are making a return visit sometime in the near future so that we can look forward to a review of the new course.
Absolutely. Hopefully there in May.
Excellent. Well, we'll have that review for you when that round has been completed. But for now, it's goodbye from me.
And we'll see you on the next day.